On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Hi, everybody.
Dr. Nick Rivera.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to Tall Can Sports. Rob over there.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing, man?
Top notch, man. Top notch.
Top fucking notch.
We're approaching the end of March, early April. Loving it. Best time of year.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Snow was on the run. Playoffs around the corner. Baseball just ahead.
Baseball, dead ahead.
Yep. Awesome. Great time of year. How about you, man? How are you doing?
I'm great, man. That's like 3-4 straight shows where someone has bothered to give a shit how Matt's doing.
Well, you know what?
Short-lived as it may be.
Appearances, baby. It's all about appearances, right?
Yeah, just following the script.
There's a script?
Yeah. I don't bother sending them to you anymore.
Okay. I don't follow them anyways.
Typically get chucked over the right shoulder right after the fucking music goes.
I don't care about that.
I have things to say.
Yeah, this is it. What? Oh, you had some idea of where you wanted this to go.
What are you drinking tonight?
I got a little sweet Tank House going for me tonight.
Is it really sweet?
Well, it's no.
No, it's not like a Rattler.
No.
All right.
No, and you know what? Yeah.
It's a great beer.
That's one of those. What do you got going?
I am into the Fax Premium Lager.
Fax? Is that a fortified?
I don't believe
lager?
So.
Is it higher alcohol?
No, I don't think so. You might know better than me.
I believe it is.
Oh, well, we'll see how I get through this then.
Yeah.
Danish, correct?
After the Danish or Dutch?
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably not to the listener.
Yeah. Or it should be. I bet there's a pile of people out there interested.
We should make a point.
It's very close to a Schlitz for all our American friends.
Oh, that's a problem.
Or a Pabst, perhaps.
Do not.
Not like a high-quality Stroh's. I don't mind a Stroh's if I'm down in the States.
We're going to talk about Stroh in the next episode.
Stroh.
If you are spending a weekend away, maybe attending a weekend party with
I just spent a weekend away.
A fine young lady that you find to be quite fetching, I can attest that you may wish to avoid the Schlitz on the first night of that trip. You will find yourself waking up the next morning not feeling sexy, perhaps with a case of the peanut butter ass. It's not really.
And you really think that has to do exclusively with the Schlitz?
I don't think it helped.
I'm wondering what else you maybe had ingested with it. A couple ballpark dogs, perhaps?
No. But I was also, I think, 18 and not particularly ready to stand up to some of the world's... I'm pretty sure it was the Schlitz, man. Oh, I've got a case of the Schlitz.
Is this where I thought you were going? I thought, wow, this is...
No, it's a bad scene.
All right. And you know what? It's one of those... I don't know if I've ever had a Schlitz.
Pass, man.
Okay, well, yeah, no problem.
You've passed for 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. Your glowing endorsement here today will not help. But you know what? I love a Guinness.
Well, yeah.
To me, Guinness is okay, but you know what? Quite often.
Don't say it.
You throw back 6 to 10 of those bad boys. And it's high in iron, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought you were going to say, then you're ready for a Schlitz. Okay.
No, I'm just saying in terms of, yeah, high in iron and everything's just sort of.
Everything is happening.
Yes.
Mainly the next morning. Let's start with.
Now, Guinness will, honestly, that low in carbonation, ladies and gentlemen, keep you feeling sexy a whole night long.
Someone who is not sexy, Mr. Eugene Melnyk, owner of the Ottawa Senators. I wanted to talk to you briefly just because we haven't had a – I don't think we've recorded since Sidney Crosby removed the hand of Mark Methot with a slash that – I don't know. It was a little more than your average slash,
yep.
But not something that you don't see in every game. He seems to want to see Crosby out for anywhere from 10 games to a year.
Yeah.
Which seems to be, and I bring this up, I'm kind of throwing Rob under the bus in that he's a fan of the team owned by this guy, but I Rob and I have spoken in advance. Rob's not necessarily following Mr. Melnyk in his thought process here.
But he's going to get his forensic scientists on, the same ones he had on the Matt Cook slicing Eric Carlson's Achilles. That same crew of guys are going to come and...
Do you suppose that Eugene Melnyk realizes it's been less than 2 weeks? Less than 2 years since a head coach that he employed threatened to do the exact same thing to P.K. Subban.
Well, okay, P.K. Subban's a douchebag and broke the wrist of Mark Stone.
But he did then threaten in a post-game press conference, say, it's pretty simple. You suspend Mark Stone or one of their stars gets slashed.
Yeah.
So...
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. To me, the Subban one, very different than the Crosby.
It was. And that was a heated series that you were in the middle of. Things that were getting vicious.
And if you're getting, that's just further and further up the hand, right? That to me, that was a vicious a slash intended to hurt. The Crosby one, yeah, you know what? That does happen. If you recall that clip of they showed... I can't remember if it was Dallas in Calgary. The night that Goodrow got his finger broken.
Oh, yeah.
There was a clip of, like, honestly, 20 times in the same game. It's like they were targeting his hand.
Well, right? The crazy thing is, if you slash someone and break their stick, you'll get a penalty. You slash someone and break their hand.
Yeah. Well, and so to me, I really wish, you know, Melnyk stepped on in a time in 03 when this team was bankrupt.
Has it been that long? It was 03.
That was 03.
Holy shit.
I was in Halifax when he bought the team. I was there for the World Juniors. And so I loved it. At that time, he was a billionaire in pharmaceuticals and a bunch of horse racing. There was a bunch of things going on there.
Did he not? Was it the battalion that he owned or the Mississauga?
St. Mike's Majors.
Yeah,
that's where Dave Cameron came from.
Okay.
And so, God bless him. Thanks for stepping up, right? Taking on the team. But I wish you would just shut up and own the team and leave all the hockey stuff to the hockey people.
What a novel idea.
You don't hear any other owners. Like, I can't think of any other owners that you hear.
Not in hockey
that you hear.
Mark
bipping.
Cuban, maybe, or.
Yeah, okay. Al Davis or.
Jerry Jones,
these sorts of things, right? But you don't hear other owners, the Jacobs in Boston and stuff, like long time.
Right.
Now, occasionally maybe Ed Snyder in Philly.
Less so lately.
Much less. He's sort of kept that under wraps.
6 feet under.
Yep. But, yeah, you know what? In terms of all that sort of crazy talk, I just wish you would stop, right? When you hear Carlson say, yeah, it's unfortunate, but it happens all the time, and it's just – it's unfortunate how that happened.
Go ahead.
To me, it's hockey people again, too, look at it and go, oh, it's unfortunate. Oh, that's too bad. Now, you know what? I don't think you and I differ on the opinion that probably – that should be a penalty.
Sure.
It's not in the league, so I'm certainly not advocating
for that. But it should be.
For that to be a penalty.
And that would go away. That's one of those things, if you started calling that, they'd stop doing it.
Right.
It would go away. But
and so to me, that I agree with that.
Yeah.
That penalty is not a penalty every night in the NHL, so that play should not be a penalty.
Right.
Now, you and I had an interesting conversation as we sussed it out, right, as we continue to go back and forth. And I'm not sure, you know, a lot of these conversations between Matt and I that aren't in studio happen via email or text. And so yeah. They're not these sort of eloquent things that you guys get to hear. They're shorter and they're sort of back and forth, right? And I'm not sure if you lobbed this at me thinking that I'm generic brain dead Sens fan, right? So
that is my resting heart rate one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to throw that over at him and see what shakes out, right? See what he comes back at me with.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, it wasn't. And even it was the day after. I'm not up in arms. To me, that's unfortunate. Again, the third time I think I've said it. But it's too bad. Too bad that happened. But it's just
Do you think there was anything – the other part of this as we sort of stay in this area but segue away from it a little bit. Melnick said, everybody knows he's the biggest whiner in the league. Do you remember the last thing you heard Sidney Crosby complain about? That's a guy that you would have to shoot in the face.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's
probably
people,
that first year or two, he was a little bit...
Well, and you didn't hear him. You don't hear him off camera. I mean, on camera saying a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have that concept of from him especially in his first two or three years,
yep,
on ice with the amount of shit and abuse that he would take.
Yeah.
Right? The on camera, you would see him on the ice.
Yep.
Right, complaining to refs, say those sorts of things. And
yep.
I think that's what they
But people
sort
have
of,
clung to that narrative for a decade now, and it's just no longer
applies. And you know what? And I'm not sure if it was Dave Poulin or who it was, but somebody was saying, Ray Ferraro, I don't know, on TSN, one of the two of them,
yeah,
was saying, yeah, okay, you know what? It looks like that, A, because he gets so much more attention, and B, and probably more importantly, is the camera is always on him.
Yeah. True.
Everybody bitches and complains to the ref. He said, but when you are a star player and get so much more attention and so much more attention from the camera,
yeah,
it's just way more apparent.
No, it's true. And I absolutely, I'm with you. I think for those first couple of years, while he was figuring out how hard it was to be a star in the league and how much attention he was going to get at 19 years old.
Well, and this is a guy, and I'm sure we've touched on it in a previous show. This is a guy who I swear to you, since Adam Hockey, has had people grabbing, clutching, slashing, hooking.
Yes.
When you are that much better than other people, they have to game plan to find ways to bridge that skill gap, right? And so if I can't do it, the only way to really do it is to, you know, lean towards a little thuggery, right? And so what makes this interesting is if you look at the history between Mathot and Crosby, right? And I think they touched on it a bit on Saturday night. They were looking at when Crosby and Rimouski went to the Memorial Cup. It was in London. Mathot played for the Knights.
Okay, I don't remember that.
And their game plan absolutely at that time was to
thug the shit out of him.
Make it as tough physically on Crosby as they possibly could. And that meant resorting to after the whistle stuff and all that kind of stuff. And so Mathot was at the forefront of that Knights defensive core, right? Then they showed a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, when Mathot hit Crosby with that big hip check.
Yeah.
In open ice.
I do remember that. That's what fucked up Dupuy, was it not? That same, he landed on his ankle or something?
Or it flew, yeah.
Yeah. I think that hit on Crosby is what busted up Pascal Dupuy.
And so there is this history going back a decade or more, right?
Yeah.
Between the two.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I had no idea about the Memorial Cup. I remember watching that because that was the lockout year.
Ottawa was there too.
A lot of these teams were kind of loaded, right? And you're coming off that big World Junior with the Carter, Richards, Bergeron, Crosby team. And
yeah.
So junior hockey was maybe as good as it had ever been that year.
The World Juniors were great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Memorial Cup was great.
World Championships, yeah.
Everything was
loaded, right?
So I wasn't aware of that. I'm sure Mark Mathot maybe was a little ways down the star power ranking of that tournament at that time, but interesting.
For sure he was, but
yeah,
he was key on that team as a defensive defenseman in your top pairing. Right?
Remember who he played with?
Nope.
Was that not Danny Savret? Was he not the captain of that London team?
Quite possible.
Yeah. You know what? Steve McLean, OHL Fanboys, listens to both of these shows. He'll let us know at TalkAn Sports on Twitter. Give them a follow, by the way. OHL Fanboys on Twitter. They do a great show.
OHL Fanboys.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Okay.
Check it out.
I will.
Anything else you have on this, or do you want to kind of segue off?
Yeah, okay. Well,
of
you know what? I briefly want to touch on another thing that came out of this conversation, because you were saying to me, because the hue and cry is, well, he's been, look at his finger, and look at the damage the slash
gross.
Cost.
It's so gross.
For sure it's gross. It's almost like amputated the end of his. And so, to me, I get it. You can't, people are saying, well, if you look at the damage, there should have been penalty. There should be a suspension. There should be this. Yeah. And I'm people are saying, well, you can't.
Penalized based on the result.
Right. But then, right, it's very clear to me, why can you look at a high stick and go, 2 minutes?
Yes.
And then I can go and look at you and go, after you've been cowering on the ice and scratching your face.
Probably clawing my own face.
And then go, oh, wait, there's blood.
Yeah.
4 minutes.
Yeah. No, that's built right into the rules to be based on result. Right.
This is it.
That's
so how
really
can you have some rules that are results oriented, but some aren't?
Yeah. Well, so what if I trip you and you fall and break your wrist?
Well, okay, this is what I'm saying is, hey, is it something that you did that caused this to happen?
Right.
That's what happens with the high stick.
Yeah.
So to me, you make the high stick 4 minutes automatic. If you are not in control of your stick and it rises up and hits somebody in the face, 4 minutes. Blood or no blood?
Yeah.
Don't give me this, hey, it's two if it's this. Or if you just, while you're down there, scratch open that big pimple on your face, you're good.
Yeah.
Blood. Oh, blood. Look at that. It's actually just pussy acne ooze.
Get down there and try and get deep into your nose and pull something out of there.
So anyways, to me, that's just more food for thought than anything else.
It is. It's interesting. And it's, it's far more, I don't know if you would have seen it, in the Toronto-Columbus game last week, Pollock destroys someone from behind into the boards. You go, if he's not hurt, does he get the 2-game suspension? But he is hurt, so he does. It was a dirty hit, but the guy turns at the last second. So how, you know, that was clearly another one where you go, he's getting 5 in a game for the hit, and he absolutely should have. If he's not injured, I'm not sure it's a. So they do that all the time in supplementary discipline, right?
Right.
They take a look at what happened during the game and then go, yeah, it's enough. Or well, yeah,
and,
no.
And see, to me, with what happened to his finger, I'm not entirely sure how he doesn't sort of drop his gloves right away.
Yeah.
Right? I think
you got to know.
I think what also hurts him is that he took the slash and then he turned around and he skated up to him and sort of pushed him with one arm.
Yeah.
And I think people are like, okay.
He's okay.
He's okay. And then as he's skating away, he's taking the glove off and he's looking at it. And
you know,
it's
they
like,
showed that on the big screen in the arena?
Well, how many times did they show it on SportsCenter?
Yeah, I know.
How many times did they show
so
it the day
gross.
After? And
so
everyone's just, whoa, gross, man.
Wincing a little bit at that, yeah.
Come on, give that fuzzed out, that little sort of digitized thing you like to do, right? If somebody's naughty bits are on the screen, right?
You bleep out all the good stuff.
What is
you got to see this guy's
you're
mangled
show me that?
Finger.
Right, I'm watching with an 8-year-old, and they go, I think I see nerve endings. You do not see nerve endings.
They're still in his glove.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all smeared out. So anyways, that's all I have to say about that. I'm sure that's more than But
it is interesting just because, like you say, it in some cases it's absolutely based on the end result. In some cases, it's just whether you did it or not.
Well, it's an inconsistent.
For
it's
sure.
It's an inconsistency in the rule book that I look at and go, well, what's up with that?
Hey.
I don't get it.
As we speak about, you said maybe high sticking should just automatically be 4 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea as they continue to try and find ways to speed the game up? Would you give a team an option after they've iced the puck in the last minute of the third? You would have to be able to do it any time. You know, a coach will take a timeout after you've iced the puck in his time. You can lose your timeout here and just make a line change. We can speed this all up a little bit. You give up your timeout and you can make a change and we'll all just carry on.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And it doesn't warrant a whole lot of conversation, but it's one that's been kicking around in my brain for a while as they just sit there. And this is all just so these guys can fucking just get off the ice and we'll carry on. And you,
yeah, kind of like the I'm going to take 4 pitches in baseball, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Can you not just make the signal? We're going to intentionally walk.
And we're going to talk about that on the next show.
And
too,
maybe it just won't, anyways.
Because they're talking about that, eh?
Yeah.
That it'll be automatic.
But those sorts of things,
yeah.
If you're talking about speeding up hockey,
yep.
Right.
Give up your timeout, make a line change, and we'll all just carry on. So, anyway, what else did we have here to get to on the hockey front?
You wanted to briefly touch on, I believe you wanted to touch on the playoff format.
Oh, that's right. I've been talking to a couple people, and I've seen a little confusion of this as we come down to the wire online, or as we come down to the wire, the conversation has been online, that people don't really still understand how this wild card thing works. And it's, I think a lot of people assume it's like the CFL, right, which has an unbalanced 5 in the West, 4 in the East. And if the fourth best team in the West is better than the third place team in the East, they cross over and that's the end of it. That's not what happens in the NHL. When they went to this divisional setup to try and create more rivalries and keep you playing against teams in your division, you could have both division winner play someone from the other pool. Or the other pool. The other division, right? Washington right. could end up playing Toronto, let's say, in this case, or Boston. And Montreal, if New York wasn't so far ahead, could be playing New York.
Right.
And in that case, would it not... Look, you're both getting four teams in. Would you not want to stick with your divisions as much as possible? Montreal
yeah.
plays Boston and...
No, for instance, in the East, the Capitals are guaranteed to play...
The worst. Wild card team.
So the... As of, you know, they're going to get your Tampas or your Boston
yeah.
or the on the off
Islanders.
Chance, the Isles.
Yeah.
Or the late-pushing Carolina Hurricanes.
Or potentially the falling Maple Leafs.
Well.
It's another issue. There, we'll see. But
falling. I think falling, they're 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. I don't know if I would call that falling.
Well, this will air after the Florida game on Tuesday night. But
okay.
With a starting goalie in questionable.
Then let's hopefully call them, you know, 6-2-2.
Let's call them 8-2.
Yeah, okay, but that's what I'm saying.
As we circle back, to when we predicted those 10 games, they did go, as you say, 7-2-1 in that stretch. Someone fucking nailed it.
Not me.
Nope. Not you. Anyway, do you not think in that scenario, it makes sense to me if there's someone clearly better in the other division that they should be able to cross over and get in. It makes no sense to cross them both over. If you're both getting four teams in, regardless of where they sit, do you not think you should just stay in division if that's what you're trying to do here?
But I'd like to just go straight division anyways, right? And the whole thing about, well, it's not fair to a 90, you know, to a 100-point Ranger team. Like, they're going to have four teams with over 100 points at the end of the season in that Metro division.
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
You know what's funny to me?
It's cyclical. That's all it is.
It is cyclical. And next year it'll be a different division or one will happen.
If you look and talk about cyclical, Flames, Tampa, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Detroit, Philly, the Islanders, all made. They were five of the eight teams that made the playoffs in the East last year.
Yep.
Good chance.
None of them.
None of those teams are going to make it this year. Talk about cyclical. Just wait a year.
Well, you know what's funny? As people shit on this, and I don't love it, but in a funny kind of quirk, it looks like it'll be Pittsburgh, Columbus, 2-3 in that division having to play each other. It could shuffle, but two of those top three teams over there are going to have to play each other in the first round.
And if you look at the head-to-heads,
if you went back,
Pittsburgh, I think, would rather play Washington in the first than have to play.
I don't think Pittsburgh's afraid of anybody over
no,
there.
No, I know, right? but I think the record, Columbus has handled them
yeah.
fairly well.
If you went back to the old system, the 1-8, they'd still be playing each other in the 4-5 matchup. So, because the division winners would all...
Yeah.
So for all this talk about the new system sucks and these better teams are going to have to play each other too early, you know, they're still going to have to fucking play each other too early. Because you had a stupid setup back then too. So
yeah. But, and you know what? To me, keep it in division.
Straight division. Stay in.
That's when you went back to divisions, you said, yeah, because we want to develop rivalries. We want to sort of enhance those. Well,
yeah.
Now you're just going to import the Rangers Canadians into a first round. Wouldn't you rather see a Toronto-Ottawa first round and a Montreal-Boston first round?
Yes, I would.
Oh, who cares about anything else that's happening anywhere else?
Do you not think, I'm going to take that a step further, because at the end of two rounds, everyone comes out of the division. You have your East Final and your West Final. Reseed in the third round, 1-4. And then if that means that Montreal and Pittsburgh are the two best teams left, so be it. Or Anaheim-Chicago.
No, I'm a staunch. I like the East-West format.
No, I want to see the best two play each other in the final. So stay in your division as long as you were going to stay in them anyway. And then when you come out, reseed 1-4, two versus three. But that's a whole other I think there's been an awful lot of talk about the way this is all going to shake out and who's going to have to play who. But there did seem to be some confusion on the fact that, you know, only one division could have a team cross over. And it was if your fifth best team was better than their fourth best team. That's not the case. Both division winners could play someone from the other division, which is kind of stupid in a division, apparently, centric league, right? This is what they're trying to do.
Yeah. So. Well, and you know what? I think there's a very good opportunity right now that there's going to be four Atlantic teams.
Looks like.
And four Metro teams.
Tampa's right back in it. Boston's right there still.
Right. And so to me, that doubles way back to the beginning when you talked about how poo the Atlantic was. and I had said to you, yeah, I'll give you the depth of the top of the Metro. But the bottom of the Metro, to me, was poo.
Well, including
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Columbus, yeah, is the outlier there. We've seen the Islanders kind of rebound in the second half, but
man, under Doug Weight,
terrible fucking goaltending is gonna.
It'll undo you every time.
Man, as
Chris McElhinney.
Ottawa's a little more comfortable right now. But as a Toronto guy who's still watching the scoreboard every single night, and you see the fucking Tampa Lightning come back from a 4-1 lead.
Oh, it's tight.
Down from Chicago, and you go, really? Fucking Chicago. I can't count on Chicago to get me a win when I need
it.
Yeah,
well, right? Hey, and fantasy hockey, I got Vasilevsky. He's going last night. I look at it, and they've pulled him. He's got like an 8.06 goals against, and I'm like, holy Christ, you're crushing me. So they pull him. They put Budaj, I think, in. Yeah. And then they pull Budaj and put Vasilevsky back in, and he gets the win.
Fuck, that ain't right.
Yeah, baby.
Are you familiar with Dave Mishkin?
Dave Mishkin.
He is the radio play-by-play guy for the Tampa Lightning.
Oof.
And he loses his mind, screaming all over the place.
Yes.
And what? He lost. If you can find it online, you should check it out. And if I'd have been thinking, I'd have pulled this up ahead of time. I didn't think we'd end up here. He loses his mind at the end of regulation. And the Lightning get a point against Chicago. And he's just screaming. Oh, fuck. You're celebrating the fucking.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And well, he's
Gary
there with the
points.
Detroit guy.
Yeah.
With the San Jose Shark guy.
There's a few. Yeah, it's funny that a couple of them are right there in the south. Eh? You'd think Detroit can have a pretty steady.
Well, and the Detroit guy, to me, he doesn't get as excited.
Right.
He's got a very nasally, high-pitched voice.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Right, and you sort of go, oh, no.
Well, if you can find the clip of Dave Mishkin on Tampa Bay Radio, it's
yeah. Well, no, awful. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Okay.
I get it. But hey, and if you look, and I was just doing a little bit of looking around, checking what people had as they run down the stretch, right? Have you looked at all at strength of schedule?
Not in a week or so.
Okay, well, Boston, Tampa, and Toronto, right? So they have 7-7, and the Leafs have a game in hand.
And I think Boston is almost entirely at home.
Yes.
Yes.
And you look at all three of them have four games against teams that are currently in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right, but if you look at strength of schedule, right, you have – so Boston has down the stretch, they have in terms of playoff teams right now, they have Ottawa, Chicago, Washington, Nashville, right? And then they have Tampa, Florida, and the Stars, right? So in terms of – it's okay. That's not a bad That's not a bad schedule. That's Boston. Tampa, again, seven games left, four against playoff teams. Their playoff teams are, and this to me is much more succulent. They play the Habs twice. Oof. They play the Leafs.
Yeah.
They play the Bruins. Those are the four playoff games that they have. This is Tampa, a fairly hot Tampa team right now.
And as of recording, they are 1 point out right now, I believe.
And then their non-playoff guys are Buffalo, Dallas, and Detroit. Like, to me, that is a...
Yeah, that's...
That's a nice little schedule.
Win-out material.
Right, and so you got to look at... You know, they're going to be putting stuff together.
Yeah.
And this is really more, I think, for Boston than it is for Toronto. Not even to mention the Islanders. I didn't even look at the Islanders.
Well, there's only 1 point difference right now. As, again, at time of recording, if Toronto wins, it's 3 points.
Well, so you look at Toronto, eight games to go, four against playoff teams to finish... Oh, sorry. They play their playoff teams are, and to me, it's they finished their last four games.
Yeah,
they better be in a good spot
because
they play, and I'm not sure if it's exact order, they play Washington, Tampa's in there, and then they finish with Columbus and Pittsburgh.
I think it goes Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus.
See, and I think without looking at it, I think it's Washington, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Okay. Either way. And so here's the thing. And again,
and then they have, as an out-of-playoff team that they still have to play, they have to play Tampa.
Yeah.
Right? And then they finish off with Wings, Panthers, and everybody in Toronto's favorite, Buffalo Sabres.
19-1-2 in Buffalo is against us in their last 21, 22, whatever the hell it was.
That's a tough schedule for Toronto down the road, down the last eight games.
So as we sit here right now and record this, we're an hour or two away from that Toronto-Florida game, which is a game Toronto, as you point out, has to have. And McElhaney's getting the start.
Yeah.
So, you know, timing's tough right now. Toronto can probably get away with going. They have very little room in terms of staying in that division spot, but Toronto can afford to basically go kind of 3-3-2. And at that point, the Islanders have to go 7-3-0
to
get in. So to fall right out, a lot of shit has to happen. But I think Toronto, as you point out, would much rather play Ottawa than Washington.
Yeah.
Whether you're pick your poison, right?
But yeah.
Because we haven't had much success against Ottawa either, but no thanks, right?
Well, there's a chance against Ottawa.
Right.
You got
no
chance.
Yeah. Now, I think we discussed this briefly in an email as well, just before we get out of here. Do you not think, now, for sure, if you're Toronto or Boston, you would prefer to play Ottawa than anyone in the Metro? But given the choice, would you not rather play Washington than Pittsburgh?
I would.
Yeah. Like, even though Pittsburgh right now sits a little lower, they're within striking distance.
Well, and by a little lower, I think you mean 2.
Yeah.
Or 3 points.
Yeah. So, still doable. They could grab those last 2 points off Toronto there late in the season. Washington, to me, is a team that seems to find a way to shit the bed. Now, they are so much better than Toronto that maybe that's not a factor, but Pittsburgh has got a cup, they've got those vets, they've got those weapons, they've got the goaltending, and they're proven, they're tested. I'll take my chances with Washington, everyone's waiting to fail.
Right, and watching Pittsburgh last week sometime, when they had 8 regulars out of the lineup, they're a franchise where, I don't know where they get these guys.
Frank Corrado.
Well, no, not man-sized Frank Corrado. I'm thinking more along these Rowney guys and whoever, like, I don't know who these guys are, but they just come up and they got blazing speed.
Yeah.
Maybe not a pile of finish, but I'm like, all they have is these no-name speedsters.
You just throw your horses down the middle and then look for all these little guys to go get them the puck. Like,
it's amazing. And the game was competitive, right? But
we watched it here, I think.
Yeah. If you can replace That was a Boston game you and I watched, I think.
Okay.
They beat Boston that night, and then they beat Pittsburgh two nights later.
Yeah, that's right.
To me, you can never count those guys out.
No.
And I don't want to play those guys at all.
Right. So, yeah, I think given the—
We'll play them in a second-round series if it comes down to that.
And Sidney Crosby will make Spezza look silly behind the net.
Again.
It's not even the fact that that was a Senators thing. That's still, to me, just one of my favorite hockey clips to watch ever, where Spets is doing literally everything he fucking can, and this horse behind the net is
he's staying on him.
Yeah.
This is
from, what, 09 maybe, playoffs? Yeah. For people, I think most of you have seen it, if not, but you can just YouTube Spets versus Crosby 09 playoffs or whatever. And he's on him. Like, he's got him, but Crosby
can't get the puck.
And they're battling behind the net.
He's got good body position on him.
Yeah.
And honestly, I looked at him and went, not bad. Not bad, Spez.
Yeah.
Right,
who's never
known as a defensive stalwart, right?
Yeah, and eventually Sid gets back out beside the net, and I think on his knees, gets it back to Letang at the point, and they fired. Like, but what a fucking sequence.
Well, and sometimes that's it. You got there's no answer for talent sometimes, right?
You just look and you go, I don't know what else you want me to do there.
That's all I can do.
I got
that. How about you? Can you not take care of that guy in the slot? What's going on here?
Fuck, eh?
Yeah. And before we close off,
sure.
As we get to this time of the year, and it seems to be, you know, in most seasons, you get into March and it starts to trend towards April, and you have monumental things that have happened, milestone things that have occurred sort of this time of year. And we just passed by Gretzky's 802nd career goal. Yeah. was a week or so ago.
Yep.
I was on NHL.com looking at this day in history. And to me, well, one is incredible, but
late March, they were presenting the cup at this time in 1909.
Okay, so what's happening here is they're talking, you're looking at the contrast. 1967.
I am aware of that year.
This is in the Leaf Blast. Stan Mikita sets the record for assists in an NHL season. Care to guess what that would be?
In 67.
Most assists ever in an NHL season.
Is it noteworthy? No, that's okay. I'm going to say 58.
Okay. 60.
Okay.
60.
It's weird. I should have just fucking 58.
Should have just rounded up. Yeah. Well, okay, but I don't know why you went with. But yeah, 60.
Seems ridiculously low. Okay. Thornton does that.
Eric Carlson has 65 assists this year.
Yeah, with like 8 games to go.
So now there was only one assist. There was only the primary back then, right?
Yeah.
Whereas now.
If it bounces off your ass in the neutral zone.
Okay. So the same day, 15 years later, we've now flashed forward to the 81-82 season. And on the same day, Wayne Gretzky has scored his 92nd goal of the season. Okay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But as an add-on in the thing they said, and also in this game, Gretzky had his
100th assist.
116th assist. 15 years apart, these two things.
It's not even fair. Like, when you look at some of those numbers, and you sit down and you go, someone would have to score 50 goals for however many straight seasons, and you're just...
40 goals... for 20 straight seasons for somebody to get to 800. That's all. And that's not even the 900 that the record is.
Hey, the other stat that I heard today was, and it only jumps out at me because of what you had just said, is that Mike Gartner started his career with 15 straight 30-goal seasons, and no one even mentions him in any of these top-end, top-guys-ever conversations, right? And it circled over to this talk of, they did that.
That's crazy too, man. 30 goals now? If you get 30 goals, you're
top end, man.
You are a top 15%.
And so they're 20% maybe. They flipped over to that. They did all season. They unveiled that top 100 NHL players ever.
They just announced Chris Pronger as I think is the
okay NHL employee, Chris Pronger.
Yeah,
still under contract.
There
to the
you
Arizona.
Go. Great perks.
Yeah. So. Perks. They're going through and people were all upset that, you know, this guy was in and this guy wasn't. And so people seem to be up in arms over Patrick Kane. Do you know the three-time 30-goal scorer is his claim to fame? Okay. That's what he has right now as his...
And three cups.
Yeah, okay. But lots of people got cups, right? Like Joe Thornton is got no cups, but... thousands of assists. Let's not go crazy, but when you sit back and I hit you with that number, would you not have assumed Patrick Kane is more than three-time 30-goal scorer? He's only ever hit 30 three times in his career.
But was Gartner in one of the top 100 players?
I don't know, and that was just a segue.
Okay, but to me, I'm looking at that going, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
As you go, you know, 30 goals and you're a made man, Patrick Kane is one of the best players in the league right now. I'm stunned by it being that low, right? Like, and that three-time 30-goal scorer gets you into the top 100 players ever.
Yeah. Well, so what's he getting in on then?
He's not. He shouldn't be.
Okay. See, so...
that's my thing. Get it.
So you're up in arms as well.
Well, yeah. That might be overstating it a little, but yeah, sure. I'll be up in arms. Why not? Get him out of there.
I'm out there with pitchforks and...
Austin Matthews, man. Get him in there.
Yeah, stuff. Clearly. Clearly, that's how that should go. But interesting, also on the Gretzky front, just a little addendum there. He was talking about... yeah, he was disappointed. He was disappointed with the season. He says, "I think I kind of let myself down. I think if I pushed a little harder, I could have got 100 goals." I'm thinking,
you loser.
Well, because
how do you come up short at 92?
Because he had, I think he had 5 assists in his last 2 games, but no goals. So after apparently resting on his laurels at 92, thinking, I got two games left, I don't need any more.
This has to be the 39 or 50 and 39 season, right?
Yeah, well, who knows?
Yeah.
Because there was a couple of seasons of 80-plus goals.
Yeah.
Right? He had, I think, five seasons of 200-plus points. Right? And one of those seasons, he had 100. He had 160 assists, only a mere 48 goals or something.
Like, it's really, when you look at it, it's just not even fair. The fact that
it's wicked obscene. That's what it is.
Fucking points.
Five times.
Yeah, I have 1,000 points by my 23rd birthday. Right, like.
Yikes. Yeah. All right. Anyways, that was.
Yeah.
That was my this day, or this time.
This day in Wayne.
Yeah. Makita with his 60th assist. Whoop, whoop. 15 years.
Way to go, bud.
15 years later, guy's got 120 assists in a season.
Where do you think, just last thing before we get out of here, if you're the Edmonton Oilers right now, you want to see San Jose or you want to see Anaheim? Looks like those are your two most likely.
I'm going to see Anaheim. Despite the fact that they're 8-1-1, I think, in their last 10.
Yeah, up to 9-1-1. I'm loving the idea that Randy Carlyle has to keep walking down and tapping Jonathan Bernier on the shoulder. How the fuck did I get stuck with you again? But
well, it seems to be doing it.
The Sharks lost six in a row, just had Couture get hurt. I mean, maybe you want to take a shot there, but that's a veteran group. Went to the Cup Final last year. I think I'm with you. Corey Perry only has 15 fucking goals this year.
Yeah.
So I think I'm with you that I'll take my chances with Anaheim.
Yeah. Well, it's the goaltending to me is where I look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting that, you know, because San Jose
and looked. Streaky up front because Getzlaff not lighting it up.
No. But San Jose looked home and cleared and then lost six in a row and let the rest of the division kind of catch up a bit.
How about the Wild?
Also fallen way off.
Two wins in their last 10 games.
Dubnyk has handed the fucking Vezina over to Bobrovsky.
Dubnyk is showing his TCS form.
That's right.
He's got the
worst goaltending.
The TCS hex has been thrown down, and it's just taking this long to show up. There's your Vezina. Suck on it.
Yeah, true story, man. No, it's the West is really just down to seeding. That's all home and cooled. But in reading a couple things today, the teams in the West are all set.
Well, it's done. The Kings are
but
10 or 11 points back. Yeah.
But the Blues appear to be, or excuse me, the Blackhawks appear to be the only team whose spot is set. There's still going to be some juggling, but in terms of the guys getting in. And it's the same over in the East with a little less. You know, the only team in the East who knows exactly where they're finishing is the Rangers. And everyone else is still kind of jostling and maybe trying to get
around,
in. And whatever, but there's only two teams in the league, and it's one because Chicago ran away with their division, and the Rangers are just not falling out.
If you look at the Blues, are also 8-1-1 or something. They're smoking hot as well.
I was eliminated from our TCA Fantasy Hockey League last week, despite Jake Allen just tearing it up for me. But
do you have Jake Allen?
I have Jake Allen.
I dropped him. I dropped that guy.
I picked him back up. Someone got hurt. I can't remember. And then Lundqvist also got hurt on me last week, so I was hurting, but. He was keeping me afloat for a week or two, and I'm out now, man.
I know you're out.
Yeah.
But I'm still in, baby.
All right. I'm out. You're in. Let's get out.
Okay. See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.